I think what the decision of the ICC appeals chamber achieved yesterday was to clarify the standard for considering arrest warrants on genocide and correcting a legal error that had been made by the pretrial chamber in the original decision.
How important is this appeals court ruling to reconsider grounds for genocide, and what will it mean for the victims of the attacks in Darfur?
Well, I think for victims of attacks in Darfur, most of whom believe that they're victims of genocide, it gets a reconsideration of that particular charge. I think in the broader scheme of things, it underscores, though, that regardless of the ultimate outcome on this charge, President Bashir remains a fugitive internationally, and his ability to travel is very limited, and the prospects that he ultimately will face justice continue to be strong.
What does a reconsideration mean for rebel groups negotiating with the Sudanese government at talks in Doha, Qatar?
I don't think it affects the talks in Doha. Those have been proceeding fitfully, quite apart from anything that's happening in The Hague. I think what's clear is that the claim that was made by some that somehow the proceedings in the ICC would derail talks has not come true. I think that the problems with the talks are deeper seated than that. It includes the divisions among the rebels. It includes a general lack of will on the part of both the government and the rebels to resolve the underlying political issues.
The rebels contend that Khartoum is trying to wrap up negotiations on a Darfur settlement before April elections. How will the looming threat of genocide charges, renewed now, affect the outcome of those negotiations?
I don't think that whether these charges are added or the fact that they are still possibly out there is going to have much effect on the negotiations themselves. I think the dynamics of the negotiations are independent of what's going on at The Hague.
Nevertheless, the justice and equality movement did hail the outcome of the ICC appeals ruling. What effect do you think that would have?
Of course, they like, as a rebel movement, they like anything that puts the Sudanese government in a bad light, and so they would say that. But I think in terms of the dynamics of the negotiation, that's not going to be fundamentally changed.
Khartoum accuses the ICC of trying to manipulate the peace talks and affect reform in Sudan by trying to resurrect the genocide charges. Do you think that there's any truth to this claim?
The thing about the ICC is it's an independent judicial institution. It has judges from all over the world, African judges, European judges, South American judges, and it operates according to a statute that has been signed on to by over 110 countries, including 30 African countries. So it's operating independently, and the idea that it's somehow trying to affect the politics or the negotiations just doesn't hold water. It's fundamentally at odds with basic reality of the independent institution.
What about the timing of the announcement? It comes almost a year, 11 months, I guess, after the initial five counts of crimes against humanity and war crimes were accepted against President Bashir.
Again, I think the timing is a product of the independent processes of the court and the process of filing briefs, which were done both for and against. The prosecutor filed a brief, and then there were very, very talented, well-known international lawyers who argued in support of the pretrial chamber's decision, and then the case was argued, and then it was reviewed by the judges. So the timing was a product of those internal processes and not having anything to do, I don't think, with the peace talks or the elections or anything that was happening on the ground in Sudan.
Do you expect the Sudanese government to fight these genocide charges or to retaliate like it did last year by expelling international NGOs serving displaced people in Darfur and the rest of the country?
Well, I certainly hope that they don't retaliate, and I think it's very important that the United States government and other governments make clear that retaliation is unacceptable. The danger that civilians were put into by the expulsions last year was only averted by heroic efforts by the United Nations and by aid agencies that were left behind. And even now, the civilians are much more vulnerable than they were. So it's very important that the United States and African governments and other governments make clear to President Bashir that further endangering civilians will not be tolerated.
How quickly can the new criteria for judging whether genocide has been committed, can the court's work be conducted, and do you think that it will affect Sudan's holding of elections in April?
I don't think that the reconsideration will have any impact on the elections, and I suspect, without being an expert on the internal procedures of the court, that it will take months in order for that reconsideration to happen. So I would not expect that the reconsideration would happen before April.
So you don't think it's going to have that much of an effect on the elections at all?
I would be surprised if the timing was such that it happened that quickly. But again, I'm not an expert on the procedures, but it seems like the court does move very deliberately, and I would imagine that when the issue goes back to the pretrial chamber that there will be briefing and argumentation done according to the new standard, and all of that takes time.
Now, the effect of yesterday's ruling is that appeals court justices said that the International Criminal Court was wrong to decide last year that Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir couldn't be charged with genocide for his actions. How much time do you think was lost during the past year by not having the force of an indictment on genocide charges?
Well, I don't think adding the additional charge to the arrest warrant would have changed the situation that much. I think it was very important that the arrest warrant was issued for crimes against humanity, which is a very, very serious crime, and war crimes, which are very serious. And he has been, in effect, an international fugitive for almost a full year now. And that has affected his ability to travel. There are many countries that he cannot travel to for fear of arrest. So I see this as not fundamentally changing the basic fact that he's been branded by an independent judicial body an international war criminal, and that's going to continue to be the case.
Would this have made a difference in the international effort to resolve the Darfur conflict or to restrict Bashir's travels or to change the African Union's rejection of the charges against him?
I don't think it makes that big of a difference. I think that the objections that the African Union has articulated to the process would be the same regardless of whether this charge was added in. And I think that the very good reasons why this independent international judicial process should be respected are the same as well. So I think it is important that all of the charges be assessed by the proper standard, which is what the appeals chamber insisted on today. But I think that the fundamental reality that this international independent judicial body has issued the arrest warrant remains the same.
How difficult will it be for prosecutors to establish a new standard of proof for the genocide charges to stick this time? Is this something for you as a lawyer to have been seeking for a long time, and are you pleased with Wednesday's ruling?
Well, I think Wednesday's ruling, speaking from my perspective as a lawyer, was the correct legal ruling that... And the basic issue was whether at this stage of the proceedings, the prosecutor had to show that there was evidence beyond a reasonable doubt that genocide had been committed. And the statute of the International Criminal Court is pretty clear in saying that at the arrest warrant stage, you just have to establish a reasonable basis that the crime was committed. And the pretrial chamber kind of twisted that standard, and they basically insisted that the only reasonable inference from the evidence would be genocide, which made it, you know, that the prosecutor had to show beyond a reasonable doubt. And I think what the appeals chamber did was put it back into perspective that at this stage, you have to establish a reasonable basis to believe the crime was committed. And then, of course, at trial, if President Bashir faces trial for genocide charges, or for any charges for that matter, those charges will have to be established beyond a reasonable doubt.
After Wednesday's ruling, Prosecutor Moreno Ocampo said that he would ask permission to provide additional evidence of what he believes is Bashir's genocidal intentions. Do you expect him to add evidence of the expulsion of NGOs last year to show complicity in the genocide charges?
I think he very well could, because, again, not just the impact of those expulsions, but the intent behind those expulsions fits in with the case that he's already made. I also suspect that he has continued to interview witnesses outside of Darfur to gather factual evidence. So I'm sure his investigation has been continuing and that he has accumulated important evidence that he will now add to the record.
The world community has stopped somewhat Bashir's ability to travel outside, but not effectively accomplished over the past year, a total indictment of him. What do you think he talked about in Doha, Qatar, during the past couple of days? Is this trip permitted under ICC indictments, or was it just another way for the Sudanese leader to flout the court's authority?
Well, the countries that are parties to the ICC would be under an obligation to arrest him, and Qatar is not a party to the ICC. So they're not technically required to arrest him. And the only countries that Bashir has been able to travel to and has traveled to in the last year have been a handful of countries that are not parties to the ICC. So it shows that Qatar is not going to go out of its way to help the ICC, but it's not a violation of any international law. I think what's more significant is that Bashir has not been able to travel to parties and some important non-parties. For example, he had said at one point that he was going to travel to Turkey, or his aides had said he was going to go to Turkey, and then ultimately he did not go. And I think it was very clear that the Turks had, in effect, disinvited him, even though Turkey is not a party to the ICC.
Over the weekend, the African Union argued that the execution of the warrant risks upsetting peace efforts in Darfur and southern Sudan. What does Wednesday's decision mean in light of the African Union's deliberations reinforcing its rejection of the ICC indictments and asking the UN Security Council to have the charges against Bashir dropped?
Well, I think the experience of the last year, or really year and a half, since the prosecutor first requested the arrest warrant, which happened in July of 2008, is that it's not really affecting peace negotiations. They're being driven by their own political dynamics. And in fact, peace negotiations picked up steam after the prosecutor first requested the arrest warrant. So to that extent, they seem to have a positive impact. I would say since this decision yesterday doesn't change the fundamental fact that he's a wanted international fugitive, that there's no real change in the status quo. And so, again, the dynamics of the peace talks will be driven by things that are more internal to them than the existence of this arrest warrant.
Sudan's foreign ministry is already reacting to the ICC renewal of the investigation into genocide charges. The foreign ministry spokesman, Mawia Uthman Khalid, held the United States responsible for the lagging of the settlement process in Darfur. And he also blamed members of the Save Darfur Alliance, which he said was a group of American organizations hampering the peace process. What is your reaction to these charges?
Well, I of course they would say that, and the Sudanese government has a long history of blaming everybody but themselves for the problems in Sudan, which are primarily consequences of policies they've adopted. So it's not too surprising that they would continue to do that.
How much do you think President Bashir is counting on next year's referendum for southern Sudan, giving him the legitimacy he needs to avoid ICC prosecution for the indictments against him?
Well, I think he's focused on the elections this April to give him legitimacy. And I think it's very important that the United States and other governments look at the environment in which those elections are being held. And right now it doesn't appear that there is the kind of environment necessary for free and fair elections, freedom of the press, freedom of association, freedom of politics. And so holding elections that aren't credible should not provide legitimacy.
What can the Obama administration do at this point? It's been a year since they came into office, and with the potential for new charges lodged against President Bashir, how do you expect the administration to react?
Well, I think the administration outlined its policy in October, which was one of a balance of incentives and pressures and coordinated multilateral action. I think what we need to see from the administration is a focus on implementing that policy, and particularly high-level leadership from the president aimed at getting other countries to go along with that strategy and to participate in it, to bring pressures to bear on people who impede peace and make sure that there's a coordinated effort to promote peace. It's a very dangerous and vulnerable time in Sudan, both in Darfur and in southern Sudan, and it's necessary that there be a coordinated multilateral approach in the U.S., under the leadership of the president, should provide leadership to that end.